in your Bible, please. Galatians chapter 5, as we continue our look at these verses concerning the contrast between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. The flesh produces filth. The flesh does exactly what it is designed to do. It is a body fit for this world to satisfy and serve itself. That is the unregenerate man, the one who rebelled in Adam and continues to live for but one purpose, and that is to serve, satisfy oneself in this world. Once one has been born again, born from above, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, everything changes. Except that unless one believes and immediately is translated into the presence of his Savior, we are left in this world in these bodies, which are still subject to satisfying itself, even as a child of God. And there would be no hope apart from the indwelling presence of our Savior. But because He is in us, and we are in Him, we have a relationship of love that now empowers us to live in such a way as to bring honor and glory to God here and now, and ultimately. But there is a struggle. The spirit and the flesh are contrary, the one to the other. There is in this life for the child of God, not for the unsaved. The unsaved does not go through any struggle spiritually. He's a slave, doing what a slave must do, submit to its master, sin. But now in Christ Jesus, we are no longer slaves. We're sons, children of God. But there is this conflict of control as long as we are in these bodies in this world. It is obvious when we submit, when we permit the flesh to control. The works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. And as if there isn't enough, there's more of that. In contrast to that is the fruit of the Spirit. The indwelling person of Christ desiring to produce His likeness in us and through us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This cluster of Christ-likeness through which the very essence of His being permeates this product, love. For God is love. It's the very essence of His being. And now as we yield to His indwelling empowering presence. He desires and will, upon our yieldedness, produce his very character. Produce a Christ-likeness in us, in the flesh. All to his eternal praise. We have already seen that this essence of God, love, that permeates this fruit of the Spirit, God demonstrated to us. God demonstrated his love, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was not only demonstrated, it was delivered to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only brought forth begotten Son into this world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The very essence of God, his very character, which he has put on display within his creation, brought to a climax in the person of Christ, his Son, is now that which he is producing in us by his Spirit. It is his love demonstrated and delivered to us. It would be wonderful if immediately upon experiencing that love, we were carried into his presence. But in his master plan, he has a purpose for us and others that have gone on before to remain in this, his creation, for a purpose. We're a new people, a new person with a new purpose, to be to the praise of his glory. And he demands of us who are a new creation, old things passed away, all things have become new, his love. It's not an option. It's demanded of us. Remember in that intimate setting in the upper room, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And here's that caveat. You love one another as I have loved you. Demanded of us his love, a love that he put on display in the upper room when he stepped down to serve, washing their feet. A love that in a relatively short period of time would take he and his disciples into a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, where there his love would submit to the will of the Father. And then within hours, that love would carry him to a cross where he would sacrifice himself. That's the love of God. Selfless, submissive, sacrifice to benefit others. And that was the ultimate. Fulfilling of the will of God in demonstrating and delivering his love, which he now demands of us. And he has provided, by his indwelling presence, the way to perform, to display his love. Went over to 1 John chapter 3. We now, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, having experienced his love and having been instructed to love as he loved, he now provides the power to put on display this love that we as his children now have. We experienced it through saving faith. We now are to express it. The DNA of the Father displayed in the Son is now on display in his children, the children of faith, you and I. John writes in chapter 3, 1 John, verse 10, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are on display. They're manifest. Here they are. What you see is what you get. Child of God, child of the devil, on display. Interestingly enough, John first puts this display in a negative sense. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. The one who is on display, not doing right, is not righteous. Not doing what one would do if he were righteous. You see, he is showing who he is. It's displayed. The DNA of the individual is displayed. First, in what he doesn't do. And what he does do. Child of God doesn't do certain things. Does other things. Child of the devil doesn't do certain things. Does other things. One, because of his DNA being right with God, displays righteousness. And does not do unrighteousness. Child of the devil displays his DNA. Doesn't do righteousness. No ability to do that. And does do unrighteousness. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest on display. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. And it's manifest itself in also not loving. Nor is he who does not love his brother. The doing of right, the doing of what is beneficial and good, is uniquely always connected to love. The unrighteous can't do right, can't love. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Two brothers. But the DNA is one of doing right or doing wrong. Cain displays the DNA of unrighteousness. Abel, child of faith, displayed the DNA of righteousness. Do not marvel, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love, that's the negative, his brother, abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. One in sin, doing Satan's bidding, satisfying self in this world, is indicating, is displaying, he's not a child of God. Not a son of God. He has no inheritance in the kingdom. Jesus made this very, very clear in his earthly ministry. Come on back to John's gospel. The gospel of John and the epistles of John have woven through almost every line love, the very essence of God. Look at John chapter 8. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. He is speaking with the Jews who are challenging him because he is testifying as to who he is. They didn't like him testifying himself. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because of my word that has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Your DNA is on display, just as my DNA is on display. They answered and said to him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham. What is the work of Abraham? Faith. We'll see in a few minutes that faith without works is dead. Because genuine faith, like love, is demonstrative. It displays itself. Abraham's our father. Well, if that were the case, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Abraham was a friend of God. He did the bidding of God. That which he put on display was the reality of his being a son of God, trusting him. You do the deeds of your father, they said to him. We're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus is telling them, what you're showing is not the deeds of the DNA of God. It's the DNA of the devil. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. God is love. For I proceeded forth and came from God. God demonstrated and delivered his love through me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Not only dead, but dead in the ability to hear the truth, to comprehend the truth. My word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want to do. That's the natural man. He's under the control of the evil one. And the devil displays his DNA in denying the truth. he displays his DNA by distorting the truth. The devil displays his DNA by displacing the truth with the lie. That's what you do. Because that's your DNA. You're doing that which is yours through your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks that which is of his own resources, of his own DNA. This is what he's about. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're of your father, the devil. You are not of God. Went over to Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 3. The DNA of the children of God is displayed in righteousness. The DNA of the child of the devil is displayed in unrighteousness. Look at verse 9, chapter 3. What then? Are we better than they? What advantage, he begins this chapter in our chapter breaks, but he begins this part of his discourse, his argument, with, does the Jew have any advantage? And he does in many respects. But that doesn't change that we're both sinners, Jew and Gentile. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, defiled, under the death sentence, doomed. There is none righteous, no, not one. The DNA does not produce righteousness. It can't. There is none who understands, can't understand spiritual things, doesn't have the capacity. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. The DNA of the devil doesn't do right. The DNA of the devil does do wrong. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. This DNA is deadly. Whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Cain. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The DNA of those that are children of the devil is open defiance. I will do what I desire to do. No thought of, no concern for the consequence. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2. Very familiar words. In you, he made alive. New person. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. He had deadly DNA that displayed itself in what you do. And it's all opposed to God. Willful transgression, willful disobedience. That's the devil. Dead in your trespasses and sins, in which ye once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature DNA children of wrath, just as others, deserving death. Because everything that's on display is deadly. It's the DNA of the devil. It denies the truth, denies Christ. It distorts the truth so that in some way you can justify what you do and ultimately discards the truth and displaces it with a lie. I answer to no one but myself. I remember before I came to know Christ, and one of the first guys I made contact with after I came to know Christ was a fellow that I grew up with from the time we were in grade school. I thought a lot of him. He was an excellent athlete. And he had a good mind. But what he said has always stuck with me. And it was for the very first time that I really heard someone articulate what life is all about. And so he was the one I first went to when I found out truly what life is all about. For he said to me, "Rick, this is all there is. There's nothing after this. So nothing matters." We were in high school at that time, and it was like, I've probably thought that myself. Obviously, I've been living that way. But here it was articulated. And I didn't know that he was articulating the lie. His DNA was of the devil. And he was displaying the mind, the actions of a child of the devil. I don't have to answer to anybody or anything. This is all there is. Doesn't matter. Revelation chapter 20. Took me a while to get to the back part of the Revelation once I came to know Christ as Savior, but it didn't take me too long to read Revelation chapter 20. Verse 7, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired," Larry and I were talking this morning before our time together about the difference between the kingdom of the heavenlies on earth and the kingdom of God. This is the heavenly kingdom. This is the kingdom of the heavenlies, the earthly kingdom that has taken place now that the 1,000 years have expired. Christ rule, Satan will be released from that bottomless pit, his prison, and will go out and deceive the nations. We don't have time, but it's mind-boggling. But it shouldn't be, because, you see, under the millennial rule of Christ, what is ruling? The law. That's what's ruling. What's the reaction and response to the law? The flesh does what? Rebels. Even in the atmosphere of everything being wonderful. But you see, there's no satisfaction apart from faith. 1,000 years are over. Satan's released. Multitudes who have been somewhat hidden by the law, suppressing at times judgment happening because of that rebellion against the law. But multitudes haven't been taken yet. Go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather together to battle, whose number is of the sands of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's all there is, Rick. Nothing after this. Doesn't matter. Well, that's not what God's revealed. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. He's here as judge. And there was found no place for them, no place to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their words, by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up its dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were all judged, each one according to the deeds of his DNA, according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. Come on back to 1 John chapter 3. What's on display? Children of God, their DNA is on display. Children of the devil, their DNA is on display. It's different. Verse 16. By this we know love. Here's how we experienced it. And we have an absolute grasp and understanding of the full significance of it. That's what that word means. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for me. Everything changed when by the Spirit of God, his grace moved me to accept by faith his sacrifice in my behalf. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. He demonstrated it and he delivered. And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but display the DNA. Little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth, in accordance with what God has revealed. Our time is gone this morning. God has demonstrated and delivered the essence of his being and the person of his Son to us, love. And now, in our still being in his world, in his creation, he demands of us that love that he demonstrated and delivered to us. Selfless, submissive, sacrificial, benefiting others in their need. Sinners, me. This DNA is demonstrative. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath preordained that we should be walking about in them. The DNA of the child of God is on display. Love. How is it displayed? Good works. Works that were predetermined, preordained for you and for me. Part of his plan. He made us a new person, and he's given to us a new purpose to be to the praise of his glory. Paul writes to Titus. He ends up this letter again by saying, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us. By the grace of God. And remind those who have experienced that love to display it. How? Be careful to continue to do good works that are profitable. Good works preordained that are profitable. What God did for us in Christ Jesus benefited us. He met us in our need and our sin and made us a new creation. Now we are his son. We are to be displaying works that are profitable. Remember last week I said not only did he step down, he also stepped in to change everything that we might be left here. Reflect him by his spirit. James says, there are some who say they have faith. Tell you what, you show me your faith without works. Can't do it. I'll show you my faith by my works. No pride in that. But they are the proof of the DNA. The DNA of the sons of God, the children of God, is love. To be on display through deeds which he hath before ordained, we should be doing them, that are profitable, beneficial for others. And you know what? They prove that we belong to him. And more importantly, how shall this world know that we are his? By his love and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Father, thank you. Thank you again for allowing us these moments together, guided by your Spirit, to rejoice in all that you have not only done for us, but desire and are doing through us by your abiding, indwelling, powerful presence of your Spirit. The fruit that you alone can produce, showing Christ-likeness within the body and into the world, for your praise. In Christ's name we pray, amen.